It's the B-side on Iowa Public Radio Studio One. We are going to be talking about the best of 2015 so far. Today on the B-side, I'm Mark Simmet, Tressa Glass is here, and Tony Daner.
Hi, Mark.
Hello.
Hey. Nice day to talk about music.
It always is.
Perfect. Yep. Yes. Tony, you should tell us why we're doing this again.
Sure. Good idea. Well, last December, Mark and I were guests on Iowa Public Radio's Talk of Iowa over on the news stream, and Charity Nebbe, the host of that program, asked what we thought was an interesting question. She asked if we were maybe consciously or subconsciously biased towards releases that came out later in the year because they were fresher in our minds, maybe. And Mark and I both just kind of went, yeah, maybe, yes, I don't know. Thinking back, I think my earliest release might have been in, I think maybe March or April, but most of them were from May on.
Yeah, I would say that's true. You do tend to be more biased about albums that you are just discovering, just listening to for the first time, because it's fresh, it's exciting. At least that's what I think.
Yeah, but I think also maybe the best music does come out later in the year. I mean, I try to look back over the whole year when I pick those best of the year, and I don't know, maybe the rules are changing, but it seems like it used to be that the record companies would hold back their big releases for the end of the year when supposedly people are going to be buying more. But now with downloads and so on, I don't know if that's true anymore. There's good music all year long, but I don't know. If you started working on a record in January and then you finished it in July and you released it in November, does that make any sense at all?
No, it does. I think it does. Yeah. And I'll just kind of following along with that, do you think, and you know, this is just speculation, do you think maybe they keep these year-end lists in mind when they're deciding when they're going to release albums? Kind of like Oscar season, you know, how they want to put out the prestige movies.
That's another
right
reason.
Before.
Yeah, right. I would definitely agree with that. And that's like poor albums that released in February get forgotten at the end of the year. Definitely. I would say that's true.
Okay.
Now that we've settled that question, Tressa, why don't you start? Tell us what you've been liking so far.
All right. Well, my first one was a pretty obvious choice. I'm going to go with Father John Misty's I Love You, Honey Bear. That came out, is it January that came out? Father John Misty's always been interesting to me. He's just kind of, if he's listening right now, I'm sorry, but I just think he's kind of a scumbag, but that actually that makes his music unique. Like we're going to listen to a clip from Chateau Lobby Number 4 in C for Two Virgins. And that's just, I mean, it is about his wife, but it's like, you know, just their first time sleeping together while she was like in film school and he was just bumming on her bed. And like, I mean, it's just, it's kind of endearing in a weird way. And same with, and he has like a satire track on here, Bored in the USA. That was, you know, hysterical for me.
He's got an attitude. I'll give him that.
He is. But at the same time, he's also a sweet guy. This like album's about his wife, Honey Bear. So it's new. It's something that doesn't happen a lot. And it's, I don't know. You guys agree with me?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's that combination of attitude and sentimentality, perhaps, or something like that, that makes him what he is.
And I think a thing that definitely kind of helps balance out the attitude in there is he really is an incredible singer.
He is. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't even know where I don't even think he had any professional training of any kind, I don't think. And so it's just like raw talent. Like, I imagine him hanging like a cigarette hanging out of his mouth unshaven while singing these songs.
Cool. All right. Well, so you picked out a song for us, is that right?
Yeah, let's listen to some of Chateau Lobby Number 4.
Am I bread and butter? Like the queen would have ostrich and cobra wine, we'll have satanic Christmas Eve and play piano in the chateau. Done this, baby, be gentle, it's my first time.
Satanic Christmas Eve. Uh-huh. I don't know. That resonates with me for some reason. yeah. Okay. Well, should we move on to the next pick?
Sure.
Mark, what do you have for us?
I have a band, and this is probably this band is the oldest group in what we're going to be talking about today. It occurs to me they go back the farthest. I think they've been around for a few decades now, right, Tony? Would you say
that sounds about right? You know, I've been listening to them since I was in high school. That was probably my peak interest in this band, and it's waned a little bit since then, but I do still like them.
Yeah, they might be giants is who we're talking about, and you know, that would be the way you'd expect it to go. It'd be okay, they had some good music a couple 25 years ago, whatever it was. Can they still maintain their standards of excellence? And, you know, this was my third pick, actually. I have to say it didn't come to mind immediately, but then I thought, well, that is a really good album. I really enjoyed listening to it. The album is called Glean, and it's the typical They Might Be Giants, you know, songs. They're kind of like sometimes like novelty songs, but they're so good at it that it rises above that kind of, you know, novelty, and you can listen to it over and over again and so on. And actually, I listened this morning with headphones for the first time, and suddenly occurred to me, this is like cartoon music. and then I thought, okay, you know, like soundtrack to a cartoon? No, the actual song is a cartoon that plays in your head.
Really?
Oh, and, wow. You know, I don't know, maybe it was the headphones for whatever reason, but I think this song that we have ready to play here called Underwater Woman is the one where that kind of occurred to me. They're painting this picture. You know, the song isn't totally terribly profound or anything, but it's just entertaining. Underwater Woman. Doesn't that take you down under the water? And
it's like an episode of Scooby-Doo in my head.
Yeah, or SpongeBob, maybe. Yeah, I mean, they're probably leading you along with the lyrics and so on. But to me, it was like, yeah, it's underwater, all right. Yeah, I can feel that. Well, so
they're like, they're from Europe somewhere, right? They're like Irish or Scottish.
Oh, they're Americans through and through,
what?
I believe.
Oh my gosh, Tressa.
Are they not?
Sorry. I didn't even know they were so old, to be honest, until right now. I'm just going to admit that because, I don't know, they do a good job of updating their music. Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's probably like a bunch of like, you know, 26-year-old hipsters in this band, uh-huh. And that's just not true.
I think that's a compliment you just paid them there.
They are welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're Americans and kind of smart Alex too, like Father John Misty.
I was going to say it's a very They Might Be Giants move to use a phrase like hydroponically grown.
Exactly.
Yeah,
they're smart and smart Alecky and poppy and, you know, I probably made too many notes on this band, but it's like their lyrics are a combination of dumb and smart, you know.
Sure.
In equal... equal measure. Sometimes it's really dumb. Sometimes they drop a phrase like that.
So that's what I go for on my show each night. Dumb and
yes.
Smart. Okay, Tony.
Okay.
What's your first pick?
My first pick is, let me check the title here. It's a long title, so I got to look at it. Sometimes I Sit and Think, and Sometimes I Just Sit. It's the first full-length album from Courtney Barnett, who is from Melbourne, Australia. I think she's 27 years old. That sounds about right. And this is just a great record. It's a lot of fun. She's really high energy. Her lyrics are kind of, they come out and they just kind of tumble out of her, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
And she's a great guitar player, too. And she's actually gotten some notice for that from guitar magazines. And these guitar magazines tend to be written by and for middle-aged men who still worship at the altar of Eddie Van Halen. So for them to take note of somebody like Courtney Barnett is kind of a big deal. And I didn't know this until recently. She plays with her fingers.
Really?
And that, so to get that kind of sound, playing with your fingers is kind of unusual.
Interesting.
I thought. And this song we're going to hear, which is called Pedestrian at Best, is the first single off of it. We've been playing it since before the album came out. And it's kind of combines all those things. It's kind of a louder tune for her. And it's also a little rowdy, but it's, is this the one I'm thinking of that's got that line in it? Yeah, this great line that I think kind of sums her up and her music. You'll know it when you hear it. Right. Pedestrian at Best from Courtney Barnett.
No, it's great.
Was the line then, Tony?
Put me on a pedestal and I'll only disappoint
that
you.
That was the one I was thinking of. Then I thought maybe it was give me all your money and I'll make some origami, honey. that's a pretty good line.
Like, her accent is so appealing, too. It's just like, she's just like this British girl just tumbling. The words are tumbling out of her mouth. That's a great way to phrase it.
If you like her accent, track 5, Depreston, I think that charming Australian accent really comes through. I think she talks about making her own lattes at home and saving $23 a week. It's just...
Well, and I have to publicly give Tony crap here just because I've been giving him crap for picking this album. Because it's funny because the fact that public radio stations have been playing it so frequently, she's like number one on public radio. So it's just kind of like, oh, of course we picked it. You know, it's kind of obvious now.
But we got a very nice note from her.
Yeah.
Obviously a handwritten note thanking her for... I mean, it went to every station. It was a PDF, so it's not like she personally sent it to us. But yeah, it's kind of nice.
Still a nice gesture.
Yeah, and that'll also help. It's like, you guys are great. Remember me at the end of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's okay to be obvious. I mean, I think if you hadn't picked this one, Tony, I would have picked it because it is a great album and everybody is recognizing it. But that doesn't make it any less great, you know?
No, it's great.
That
it's
everybody great. Can see it. So, and she deserves it. You know, it's actually her first full-length album and... we'll see what she does next, but this is definitely going to be in a lot of top 10 lists when the end of the year does arrive.
We'll see.
All right, let's move on to Tress's next pick.
Okay, this one is probably the one that's going to come from left field. It's the Punch Brothers with the Phosphorescent Blues. Came out right at the beginning of the year. I think it officially released like March 3rd or something like that. Picking this, I have always been a Punch Brothers fan. They have, they're completely string, they're all string, so they just make, like, they'll beat their mandolins and their violins and whatever else they have to make those sounds. The lyrics really resonate because it's, like, the poppy sound, like, your kind of, like, your typical rock folk sound. But they have, like, the lyrics. I remember there's a track 4, I Blew It Off. There is a line that's, your trouble vibrates the trouble. No, let me try that again. Your trouble vibrates the table, interrupts my reverie. That is such a good line. I love it. So let's have a listen to track number 5, Magnet. It has a catchy beginning. And I don't know if either of you have watched their Tiny Desk performance recently. They were joking because Chris Thiele had been on there. Like, they typically only allow artists on there one time. And he had been on there like three different times for three different projects he was on. And they actually made him a birthday cake with braces on it, because the first time he did Tiny Desk, like, he had just gotten his braces on. So he was back promoting this album. And it's funny watching him perform that track, Magnet. He's very animated. They're great live performers. I would definitely like to see them perform someday.
Chris Thiele was in Waterloo Cedar Falls about 4 years ago with the Waterloo Cedar Falls Symphony. And he's a genius. I'm going to go ahead and say it. He is the Jimi Hendrix of the mandolin.
Oh, you can't take it back now.
That's right.
No, I've never really had a desire to learn mandolin until I heard this album. I was like, maybe I should pick that up. And he's like come out with solo albums, and he's fantastic.
You got mandolins. Is this would you say this is Americana music? Just gonna put that out there.
I don't like the term Americana, and I don't know why, but like when I first heard these guys like several years ago, I just assumed they were like Irish, you know, but just because they were so good at like all the folk stuff. But I'm pretty sure I know Chris is an American, and I'm pretty sure all of them are.
Yeah, I think they're all Americans.
Yeah.
I don't think they're Americana, but you know, the instrumentation is what they do with it is pretty amazing. These guys have all had training, I assume. They all went to school, right?
Oh, for sure.
There's no way.
Lots of music majors in that band.
Yeah.
And just a side note, that has my favorite Beck album band photo of the year so far.
Oh, yeah. It's all of them on their cell phones with like the light lighting up their faces. And that's actually their music video for I Blew It Off. That's like the entire thing is just like people on, it's about like, there's a line in that song about like the modern day, like you can blow people off pretty easily with texting and all that technological nonsense that the kids are using.
Hey, I do it too. You know, we're not looking to throw stones here, or you know.
No, it's like a comment on, you know, 21st century reality.
Yes,
that they're all on the back cover. I'd forgotten about that, but yeah, that is great. And then that's their band photo. You know, so nice job, Punch Brothers.
Nice work. All right, Mark, let's hear your
okay,
next.
Okay, I'm next with Laura Marling. Her album came out this past spring, early in the spring, I guess, called Short Movie, and it's her fifth album. She's from the UK, and she's got that great voice, that great accent, kind of, I would describe her vocals as kind of airy, if that makes sense, folky, kind of reminds me of 1960s era folk performers like Joni Mitchell comes to mind. She's just got an intriguing voice, she writes great lyrics. She's also a great guitarist, and this is just a really fine album called Short Movie, and here's a song called I Feel Your Love.
Keep your love around me. Keep your love around me so I can never know what's going on. What's going on? Keep your love around me. Keep your love around me so I can't be alone. An electric fence, a silent defense to you all. You let me in. I loved you then. The first taste is free. Then you hide me. I feel your love. I feel your love.
Nice, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like it. All right, little dissension here. Why do you say that, Tressa? You're not a fan of the acoustic guitar or the...
I thought that was great, actually. I'm just... you're right. It does remind me of like the olden days, Joni Mitchell sort of era, which I'm just, I don't know. It's just, it never, and Laura Marling never struck my fancy, I guess I would say.
Fair enough. Fair enough. If we all agreed on everything, it would be pretty boring, really. But I like it. What do you think, Tony?
Well, I wasn't in love with it, but I do like it quite a bit. I remember putting in the whole album when this was another one that we had as one of the singles for a little while before we got the whole album. And I remember listening to the whole thing and thinking, wow, this is really good.
Yeah,
but then I haven't thought about it much since, I will admit.
That was the end of that story. Yeah.
Well, there's a couple, there's, you know, there's, she rocks out on a few of the songs too, as far as she can, I guess. I mean, it's not all just laid back. acoustic. I mean, she doesn't rock out like my next pick will, but
yeah, right, right.
Yeah. But you know,
few do.
Yes, exactly. So maybe you have to be in the right mood to get into it. But you know, her first, now here's something in her defense. Her first three albums, I think, all were nominated for the Mercury Prize, which is like a British, you know, best of the year kind of thing that they give out. And I'm still not sure if that's a popularity contest. I don't think she's incredibly popular in England.
Oh, that's interesting.
But, or is it like, I'm not sure who votes on that or where that all comes from. But just the fact that she's only done a few albums and most of them have been nominated for this best of the year thing says something. And we'll see what happens with this one.
Yeah.
Tony,
so
let's
we will.
Move on.
Okay, well, my pick is the latest album from one of my favorite bands, and they're going to be playing not far from us soon, and tickets are very expensive, and I'm very sad about that. But the album is called The Waterfall. It's the seventh album from My Morning Jacket, and My Morning Jacket put out one of my favorite albums of all time in 2003 called It Still Moves. Their next album after that, Z, was a great victory lap. And since then, I think it's fair to say My Morning Jacket has been kind of hit or miss. Mark, you're kind of tilting your head on that one.
I'm just thinking, yeah, that's okay. Probably about right. When I listened to this, I thought this was like their bid for mass appeal. You know, like they were really hitting for the fences. Is that the right phrase?
I think they were definitely reaching for the fences. Yes.
Reaching for the fences.
I think that is a fair statement.
They wanted to knock this one out of the park. And I think it's a great album.
Yeah, I think this kind of hits my sweet spot in that My Morning Jacket is basically a roots rock Americana band that is just modern enough, you know. And there's a lot of space on this album, and maybe even more so than other albums. They really leave a lot of space in the music. There's the usual amount of reverb that you would expect on a My Morning Jacket album, a lot of neat little flourishes, steel guitars and things like that. And I've just really come to love this record. And right now we are going to hear the first single from that album. It's called Big Decisions. Actually not my I listened to the album again this morning and I decided that's actually not my favorite song in the album, but a lot of them kind of take their time getting to really kind of the cool part. if you want to call it that.
See, that's my only problem. Like, that album is fantastic. It's just like, I'm super impatient and I have to wait for a song to get good. I'm probably not going to play it on the show.
And specifically for this situation, I knew we would not be listening to any song for more than a minute.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not going to play, you know, Only right. Memories Remain or Spring Among the Living, you know, before before the song really hits its crescendo or hits its stride or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, but when they make you work for it, they make you wait for it. And I think that makes it even sweeter when it comes. And it's just like perfect, like chilling music, like, I mean, relaxing and stuff. You know what I mean? Like just like hanging out in the record library. That's a good place to listen to it.
Yeah, but that song, Big Decisions, that is the single. I mean, that is a really catchy, got to be the catchiest, poppiest song they ever did, don't
for
you
sure
think?
Yeah. That one, or maybe One Big Holiday from It Still Moves. That's the one that ends with that really epic guitar solo.
Is it like 6 or 7 minutes long?
No, it's only about 5 minutes long, but
okay,
isn't Compound Fractures on that album?
It is,
right?
Yeah, and that's another
I would say
good,
I think
one.
That's actually the top one on Spotify, or maybe second.
They did that song on I think Jimmy Fallon's show, not long after the album came out. That was a good performance.
Yes.
And Jim James is wearing a really cool jacket and hat.
I'm hoping, random thought though, like I'm hoping Stephen Colbert is going to keep up Letterman's welcoming nature toward musicians, because I know I enjoy watching those, and it's good for our website when we need an FCC-friendly version of a song.
Yeah, it's a little bit off the subject, but I think Colbert is going to have great musical guests, because on his old show he did. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think he's into music. He is a musician, isn't he? Plays guitar, sings?
I'm not sure.
Probably. I mean, you know, I
think so, probably.
You've never seen him play with, I think he played, who did he play with, Neil Young? Or?
You might be thinking of Ed Helms. Ed Helms is a big-time musician.
No, I am thinking of
you're right. You're
Stephen
right.
Stephen Colbert.
Yep, I'm sorry. No, yeah. He had Neil Young on, and they both played guitar.
Yeah.
And they started to...
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and other people. He's played and sang with other people. So I think it's going to be a good show with good music.
All right.
Okay, let's move on to Tressa's next pick.
All right. Well, I think we all knew this was coming. It's Purity Rings, Another Eternity.
What?
Yes. Shocking. I've been playing this most of my shows since this came out. Because it's one of the few good electronic albums that have come out this year out of that genre, except we did just get Jamie XX in, but I haven't spent enough time with that album yet to make a big decision like this. So Purity Rings, Another Eternity.
We're not going to make your big decisions for you.
Well, all of the tracks on this are awesome. They're all catchy, for one, obviously. That's kind of the point of electronic music, is to kind of like make you move, or kind of like literally like make your brain shatter. Like if like the bass in your car just vibrates your brain out of its head. Whoa, that was trippy.
Yeah.
I'm back. Body Ache is probably my favorite track off this album. It's probably the most popular track, I would say. But Flood on the Floor is also enjoyable. It has like that really cool beginning. I remember, Tony, you played that one first, I think, when it first came out.
And I was like, might have.
You did. I was listening. I was like coming. I was in my car and I was like, what is this? I was like, wait, what? The Purity Rings in. Came to work on Monday. Like, yeah, let's have a listen. Here's Body Ache, track number 2.
Take me down.
Another thing, I'm a sucker for songs that have extremely like sad and depressing lyrics with like that high energy rhythm and movement in the song. It's just so appealing.
Yeah, this is one for me. This would be kind of a, you talked about the Punch Brothers being kind of out of your normal, your normal box. These would be kind of mine. I mean, this is a really easy to listen to album, I think. It's put it on and just like you said with My Morning Jacket, just kick back, you know. Maybe you don't see it that way. You talked about having your brain shattered or whatever.
Yeah, that was, I like got lost in a like a thought there and I was like, it's like your brain shattering, but
maybe I'm not paying attention enough attention to the album while I'm listening to it. Maybe my brain will shatter and it's eventually.
I like running to this song too. It's
Like,
because the best music to run to is a song that feels you understands your physical pain at the moment and yet pumps you up and keeps you going. You're like, ah, my body does ache right now, but it's fine. I'll keep running.
I like that one too. I like the synths are played so with such authority and such power, you know? You talk about brain shattering. Maybe that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, and gets in there, right in there. You know, synths have to be, I'm not a synth player, but I think they're probably easy to, you know, it'd be easy to come up with dancey synth sounds.
Oh, yeah. That's like what it's made for, I think.
Yeah. But to make it, you know, really distinctive and to do it right, you know, I think they accomplished that. So, yay, Purity Ring. And great band name, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I that's the first thing I think about them is that is a great band name, because you think about it, you think, what does that mean exactly? And it does have a meaning, but it could mean a lot of things.
What do you think
it's
it means?
A good phrase. I know what it means. I Googled it earlier to make sure.
Oh, good.
we don't have time to get into that.
But we don't need
subject.
To get into that.
Okay.
But
we'll
it's just
later.
A good phrase no matter what it means.
I think so, too.
All right. So am I up?
I think you're up, Mark.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, Slater Kinney was my third pick. And this one, you know, came out like very early in January. So it's so like Slater Kinney to say, we don't care about end of the year. You know, we're going to release our album. You know, they could have probably put it out for Christmas, but they waited because they have so much integrity. It just immediately struck me this was going to be one of the best of the year because it's so intense and it's just a great album. So No Cities to Love is the name of it from Slater Kinney. Why don't we begin by listening to Price Tag a bit? Slater Kinney with Price Tag, and they took a few years off, a bit of a hiatus there, and then they came back, and I think they felt like they had to bring it.
Yeah,
they did.
And you know, and the thing I remember reading not long after this album came out is that they never really intended to break up or go on a hiatus. It kind of sounded like they just kind of stopped doing it for a while, and then they just kind of knew it was time for a new record. And I remember not long, like it was that last fall, we got that sampler disc from, I think they put out everything, like all of their output up to then as a box set.
Right.
And I was never all that into Slater Kinney before. And now I'm thinking I need that box set in my own collection at home and probably this one too. You know.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I knew, you know, they had a reputation for being a fine band and so on, but nothing really ever hit me like this one, you know, did for some reason. And I think they did feel like they had something to prove, but they they didn't try so hard that, you know, you're thinking, oh yeah, they just want to show us that they can still rock, you know. They do that, but somehow the energy is kind of contained. It doesn't like explode out of the record. It just keeps building, and you know, you listen to the 10 songs and you're kind of exhausted. It's even not even that long. It's like 34 minutes maybe or something, but it works really well as an album and very impressive.
Do you think Carrie Brownstein got annoyed that people knew her mainly from Portlandia and was kind of like, I'm going to show those jerks. I'm going to get my band back together. And
I always think about that. I can't help it.
Exactly.
I'm just like, Carrie's in a band.
maybe. I mean, that Portlandia connection just makes her work in the band more intriguing to me because, you know, you think of all the characters she plays and she's such a talented person, you know, and
she can
be such a great musician and such, I don't know if she's a great actor, but she's definitely got a presence in Portlandia. So yeah, there's no getting around that. And actually, I think that reminds me, I think they played on, I believe they played on Seth Meyers' show.
Okay.
When the album came out and did not, and Fred Armiston was right there in the band.
He's their number one fan.
A word was said about their connection, you know, which I thought was pretty cool.
I almost didn't bring it up because we've been assuming that everybody we're talking about is listening to this podcast.
And well, I mean,
and I was like, oh, they just couldn't help but mention it. They had to bring up Portlandia.
Oh yeah. That's what you, sorry, don't have a successful TV show if you don't want
there you
us
go.
To talk about. I will often play on my old radio show. I used to play like Feel It All Around and Sleater-Kinney next to each other just because it's an easy thing to talk about. Because Feel It All Around is the theme song for Portlandia.
What a great song
that is. I'd like to hear that right now. Can we play that one?
Do we have?
I don't.
Never mind.
We'll look for it later on. I think you've given us another show idea, Mark.
There we go. Okay, Tony,
okay,
let's
so
hear it.
My third pick is really new. I think we got this last week, but the day we got it in, I put it into our automation system and then listened to it, and then I had to hear it again, and I thought that was a good sign. It's All Your Favorite Bands from Dawes, and I think this is their fourth or fifth album. I'm not sure. Again, I was not a huge Dawes fan before this. I never took notice of them really, and I think I told Mark, I think the name of this album, All Your Favorite Bands, is kind of apt because Dawes kind of sounds like all of your favorite bands, right? I mean, last year they were at 8035 last year, and Phil Moss, our sound engineer, said these guys sound like Jackson Browne, you know. And he didn't mean that in a good or bad way. It was more of an observation. And and I think I found on Wikipedia they have in fact played with Jackson Browne, so there you go.
That's
but
fitting.
I mean, there's not a whole lot that's surprising on this album, but I think that's okay. You know, I mean, I compare it to Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, you know what you're going to get at Thanksgiving dinner, but it's still delicious and satisfying. And that's kind of how I look at this album. And the song we're going to hear is called "Somewhere Along the Way."
Farewells with a restlessness reserved for those who believe in themselves. She thought the world was hers, so she made sure it bent beneath her will. She was as new and as ancient as the solar paneled hills. She was certain she could take this town by storm. The wonder of sound and light seeking a form. But somewhere along the way, the dots didn't all connect. The promise became regrets. Somewhere.
Okay, Dawes from their new album, All Your Favorite Bands. Tressa, you look like you want to say something.
Go ahead, Tressa.
I guess the band just kind of sticks to what they know. You're right. Like the belted choruses with, you know, all the other band members. All right, let's all chime in and hit this one note.
A lot of big choruses on this album.
And that's just like something that reminds me of, like, I'm like, oh, it's 1998 again. And they kind of sound like Mouse Rat from Parks and Rec a little bit. Just like, let's get the guitar. They're a good band. I mean, yeah, it's like they're consistent with their work.
Yeah, and they have that, you mentioned Jackson Browne, they have that kind of, singer-songwriter, another era, the 70s, early 70s kind of vibe going there. Laurel Canyon is mentioned in connection mm-hmm. with them quite often. Fine band, Dawes, but I guess they don't blow me away, not that they need to.
I'm glad they blew you away, though, Tony.
Well,
I'm happy
you.
For
thank
you.
And we're gonna revisit all this at the end of the year when we do our year end top five or top ten list. It'll be interesting to see if Dawes makes the cut then.
Which now you're gonna be hyper aware of that. You're like, man, I'm not picking Dawes, and we're gonna call you out on it.
You know, something I didn't think of until yesterday. Two of my three picks. The lead singers were heavily involved in the New Basement Tapes project that came out last year.
Who wasn't involved in that?
Yeah, well, there you go. Fair point. So it'll be, maybe I need to revisit that album. I don't know. I certainly did not plan it that way.
Cool.
That's fine. I mean, the year is young, so, you know.
Yes.
You had to work with what you had. I guess New Basement Tapes could have been in there if it came out this year. Would it have been? This is really off.
No, it did come out last year.
Yeah. But if it had come out this year, would that have been in your...
I don't know.
Would it have been like the trifecta? You know, all three? New
yeah,
Basement
I don't know.
Tapes.
You could have combined them all.
My Morning Jacket, Dawes. Like this
a,
is the best.
Rhiannon Giddens, you know. Yeah,
yeah, Rhiannon Giddens.
She had a solo album this year.
Yeah, so... Elvis Costello, where has he been? Come on, Elvis.
He hasn't had an album
seriously.
In 6 months. Come on.
Yeah. Right. Slacker.
Him and Ty Siegel should get together and put an album out.
With parquet courts.
Yes. Ty Siegel, if you're listening, you can wait for your next album. Okay.
Yes.
I'm indecisive and I had to choose four albums, but I think we all agree that the new Alabama Shake Sound and Color album is superb. I think of it as like, I never actually was an Alabama Shakes fan until this album, but it's like sultry and soulful and dark at the same time. So it's not just like your typical soul kind of like rootsy sort of band. They've definitely modernized this one. I love it. The track we're going to hear, Don't Want to Fight, track number 2, is fantastic. The beginning actually gave me chills the first time I heard it. Let's give it a listen.
Yep.
What you like, what I like, why can't we both be right? Attacking, defending, until there's nothing left worth winning. Your pride and my pride, don't waste my time.
No. Yeah, that intro is amazing that Fender amp reverb on the electric guitar. That's just awesome.
And just like she's just wailing. Like she sounds like she, you know, of course she's like perfect in pitch and tune and everything, but right. She's just like wailing like she is in pain, and it's just so intriguing.
And it's a little different from their first album. They incorporate a lot more different influences, and I think it sounds like they took a little more time with this one. I don't know the circumstances under which they recorded their first album, but it sounded like they just got out of bed, drove to the studio, and recorded everything in one take. Whether or not that's true, that's what it sounded like, and it was fantastic. And this one, it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like they, you know, it sounds like there's overdubs and things like that, but it's okay. And they clearly draw on a broader range of influences, I think, with this one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a progression from the first album. And, you know, as Tressa said, it's not just your typical soul R&B thing, but they, you know, they take off from that and build on it. And it's great. And again, you know, Brittany Howard is a guitarist herself. So I think she basically just plays rhythm guitar. But I think that gives her a connection.
I think
more,
so too.
More to the music, more than your typical soul singer. So she can sing like that and be standing there with her guitar, you know, and that just adds to the whole thing. Great band.
Yes, definitely. That's only their second. That's their second.
Yeah,
album.
Second album. Yeah,
fantastic.
And they're all very young too. So hopefully we've got
a ton of them. Like.
Hopefully we've got many years of great albums from Alabama Shakes coming. And that does, like Tressa said, you know, we kind of give you a hard time for being a little indecisive, but I think that's a consensus pick, and it gives us an even 10 albums to talk about today.
That's nice.
So that's a nice bonus.
Oh yeah,
top 10 of the year so far.
Yep. Let's just throw this out there. Did anybody have any that they almost picked, or that they were so close but they're like, no, I gotta go with this one?
Mother
Mother is good, but you know, the first three or four songs are just excellent, and then I felt like it kind of lost its
momentum. But they were great. You just ignore the
so, you know, if you're talking about, you know, almost picking something, quite often it'd be like, and you know, we keep talking about albums rather than songs. I don't know if we should be doing that, but that's what we're doing. Quite often there'll be like, you know, some really great tracks on an album and then some not so great tracks. And so then it's like, well, what do we do here? Does that make it a good album or not?
Yeah, that would be another entirely new topic.
Yeah,
best songs of the year would be something.
Yeah, songs.
To
if we were just doing individual songs, boy, we could really bring great ones to the table. In a way, it's nice to have albums to talk about because it kind of, pairs down the field a little bit, you know. You can get it down to a manageable number.
Yep. Two that I was considering. One was, and I've talked to Mark about this one, Gold Star. Mm. You kind of had me in mind, I think, when you picked that one. It's another kind of Americana album. It's one guy, I think his name is Marlon. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I'm sorry, Marlon. I know you're listening. but he's in LA, and it's a great album, very much in that Americana vein. Not super memorable upon first listen, so gave that one a pass. And then the Matthew E. White album, Flesh and Blood.
That I'm surprised you didn't pick that.
You know, I was close, and it's not quite like Father John Misty. He's definitely kind of a smart aleck, but there's a little more winking and nodding going on this album, I think. Like, you know what I'm talking about, you know. I think he's obviously having a little more fun with it, I think. So I was close with that one, and he produced another album that we were playing a lot. I think it was the Colleen Green album.
Are they?
Or
was
no.
That who it was? No, it was somebody else who, Jessica, or...
Jessica Pratt.
Was it Jessica Pratt?
I think so.
Or was it...
no, Natalie Press.
Natalie
here produced the Natalie Press album. Oh, boy.
We figured it out, though. They're on the same label, and I think she might have sang background vocals on his album or something, but they have a connection, yeah. Also kind of mining the classic pop field for new sounds.
Yeah.
All right.
And with that.
Well, let's just really quick. Do you think all of these will be around at the end of the year? Do you think we'll still be talking about them, still enjoying them as much as we are now? Some of them, I think, for sure. Others,
yeah,
maybe not so much.
I can say I'm pretty sure, like I said, Sleater-Kinney is still going to stick around, not just for me, but for a lot of people when it gets to the end of the year. I don't think they're going to forget it because it came out in January. Laura Marling, possibly, unless there's some really great stuff coming out if you could only pick five, let's say, at the end of the year, that's going to make it difficult. They Might Be Giants might not make the cut for me by the end of the year.
Okay.
I would say Alabama Shakes will probably stay with me. Punch Brothers, I might get over it. Purity Ring, I might get over it. Father John Misty will probably stick with me. And I just thought of something that we played a lot and no one chose. The J.D. McPherson album, did that come out this year?
It did.
I was just thinking about that. And it was we all kind of agreed, it's really fun. And it's great, kind of a classic rock and roll album. And then we kind of all right. And moving on, you get it.
Yeah, that's not an album that's going to reveal additional layers upon,
No, it's not going to change your life, but it will make you dance.
And sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I don't know when we'll get to this again. Hopefully it'll be sooner rather than later. We've got kind of a full plate here at Studio One. 8035's coming up and some other projects coming down the pike. But if you're out there listening and have any comments for us, maybe put them on Facebook or Twitter. If you have ideas for shows, send them our way. Facebook, Twitter, once again, or studio1@iowapublicradio.org.
If you would like to contact Mark, Tony, or myself, you can find our email addresses on the website fairly easy. So
that would be the way to do it.
That's a good way. And Tony and I are active on Twitter. Mark, sometimes.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Mark, Tressa had a great time. Hopefully you did, too.
Yes, this was fun.
Cool.
It was great.
All right.
You guys are a pleasure to work with.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.